You're listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press. Elected officials promised they'd take action to fix conditions at a San Francisco school that recently had a gas leak and where students have been injured.
Students, you deserve an apology, and I want you to hear from a government official that we have not protected you like we should, and that is wrong. And I want you to hear from me directly that I am sorry that we have failed you. This is not right.
Students and parents are saying this has been going on for a long time and that it makes them feel neglected and mistreated.
I've seen kids pee in the yard because they don't want to go in the bathrooms. I'm sure many students can relate to having classes interrupted by rodents running across the room.
But spending the money to make repairs is not so simple. I'm Laura Wenis, and this is Civic.
Item number one is a hearing on the status of Buena Vista Horace Mann K-8 community schools.
Today, I want to distill down two very, very long meetings of two local elected bodies into a very important story about what students and teachers at one of our local schools have to experience day to day. Doing this is always kind of frustrating because so much context and background and honestly a lot of emotion and sometimes humor gets lost in reporting on these meetings. But it's also such a critical task to just report what happened. Other journalists have been on top of these meetings for a while, so credit where credit is due. Hats off to Annika Holm at Mission Local, Ida Mojadad at the San Francisco Examiner, and Jill Tucker at the Chronicle. But I have the privilege of actually playing you the tape of some of the most important and most intense moments. So that's what I'm going to do. And heads up, this show is emotional. So here we go. Last Friday, an entire fourth grade classroom showed up virtually to this meeting of a subcommittee of the Board of Supervisors. They were there to talk about the conditions that they're expected to learn in at Buena Vista Horace Mann, a K-8 school in the Mission. In August, the school was evacuated for a gas leak. But more mundane problems have persisted for a while. Pieces of the ceiling keep crumbling off. There's classrooms that are too hot or too cold. There's rat poop all over the place. Hear for yourself.
Hi, I'm Natalie. I'm an eighth grader, and I've known for years that we've been having these problems at our school, like deteriorating buildings, rodent problems, and many things are not up to safety standards. And I know that, like, for the pests and stuff, I know that it's been here since I've been in third grade, and keep in mind, I'm an eighth grader now, so that's, like, over 5 years of this problem. So I think that's why we really need this renovation. So the next group of kids that enter the school can like have a really well, a good and like up to standard school.
Hi, I'm Inez. I'm an eighth grade student at the school. I've been going to school at BVHM since I was five. Over the years, I've faced a lot of these problems. I've seen kids pee in the yard because they don't want to go in the bathrooms. I'm sure many students can relate to having classes interrupted by rodents running across the room. We've had all kinds of problems, and I think it's just unacceptable and that this definitely needs to change.
I would like to say that this school means everything to everyone because we all like to play with our friends and everything, but all the things that has been happening lately is not okay because it's like we are risking our lives for like a war that we can't win. So we wanted funds because part of our school is falling apart, and now it just feels like they don't care about us anymore, and that the school that we have here just doesn't feel safe anymore. It just feels like we're not going to be able to be here anymore, and we're going to have to move to another school or something like that. But I feel sad that all this stuff is happening in the future while all this bad stuff is happening, like COVID. And it's always really cold in my classroom. Why do I say that? Because two kids brought blankets to the classroom because it was too cold, and the gas is getting wasted, and it could be used for other things. And you should totally help my school because so me and my friends can learn and be successful in life.
So you heard about the gas leak, you heard about the rodent problem, and a lot of kindergartners could have lost their lives in that time period. I feel like it's not okay that the staff keeps on letting us down like that. So I feel like we should try to get what we need. It's not right that they should be neglecting us because a lot of people could have lost their lives. A lot of people are getting hurt.
Fourth grade teacher Allison Matamoros told the supervisors a little bit about what it's been like to teach in this school. She had a slideshow prepared with photos, everything from mold to cracked pavement to ants to a copy machine in the bathroom.
Last month, we had a sixth grade student fall in this crack over here and during PE. They had to be rushed to the emergency room and get 12 stitches. Next slide. And I want to go back to the point that this school is not made for the 500 K-8 students that we have. We're crammed in our school. And because of that, we've had to repurpose rooms. For example, this picture on the left, you can see that it's a printer room, copy room, and a bathroom combined. This is where we print out the things for our kids, our curriculum, from this copying machine, which is the same place where staff urinate and defecate, and it's not sanitary. If someone's using the toilet, then we cannot access our printouts from this copier. And sometimes we gotta use both at once. When our school merged, our facilities made some changes, like lowering the bathroom stalls so that kindergartners could use a middle school boys' bathroom. But these bathrooms are in disrepair. Like, I took this picture on Wednesday, and you could see that the toilet seat's broken. This is what kindergartners use. We've had to fight so hard to get basic things. And really, the main times we've seen facilities come and fix our building is when we've gone to Mission Local or we've complained at school board meetings. And we've been dealing with students getting electroshocked, going to the emergency room to get stitches, evacuated for a gas leak. And this has caused children to miss out on their learning. This is what our Black and Brown students have to deal with. And it's not just. We were literally gaslit by the school district when we reported the smell and they dismissed us. The gas leak went on for another week and a half. It wasn't until PG&E got there that we identified the problem and we were evacuated.
One of the things she emphasized, this isn't new. In spring of 2019, Allison Matamoros said families at the school were already filing complaints about vermin, faulty heating, broken windows, and other problems. At the time, parents said they were sending kids to school with rolls of toilet paper because there wasn't any in the bathrooms. She said in June of 2019, Mission Local ran a story detailing the complaints and the conditions at the school, and the very next day, the district made some improvements. Then, last year, she said the fire department came to do inspections and issued notices of code violation, all of which were abated by March of this year.
I love BBHM. It's my second home. And I was part of the fight in 2016 to help get the bond passed so that we could get our students the resources that they needed. But it's a slap in the face that we're still dealing with these conditions in 2021. And I think the city used the mission's union strength to campaign to get the bond passed, only for us to be left in the cold. Because you can see here on the map which schools were left unfunded. And you could see that they're clustered right in the mission. Next slide. Even though it's been a struggle, I'm hopeful that the commissioners will listen to our needs. And what are we asking for? One, a complete renovation of BBHM. Two, an inspection by a third party and immediate repairs. And the last thing is monthly reports on the renovation process. I want to thank you, Hillary Ronan, for giving me the platform to speak and shed light on the struggle to provide a dignified campus for our kids and the mission. And I want to thank Commissioner Matthew, Gabriela, Kevin, Allison, and Mark for coming to our school, seeing the campus, hearing our stories. Please do the right thing. Right this institutional inequality and renovate our school.
Institutional inequality. That's something that came up multiple times from several different advocates for improvements at this school. Because Buena Vista Horace Mann serves a lot of low-income families of color, and most students are from immigrant families. Advocates see this as a sign of not just neglect, but racist neglect. And parents. Parents have had it.
My name is Lourdes Alarcón. I'm a parent at Buena Vista Horace Mann, and I'm like indignated. I'm mad. I was sad for a while, and it's just like the feelings are endless. Buena Vista is like the nest for our culture, for our languages to be kept on. I feel like we're living in history when the Mexicans were treated as a second-class citizens. My children are citizens. They deserve better. They deserve a safe place to learn. They are leaders themselves. I'm trying to empower them to keep fighting, and I can't believe as an educator, I've been advocating for bilingualism and the immersion program. 20 years later, I keep fighting for my language, my culture, my community to be treated fairly. So thank you very much, Supervisor Ronan, to bring us in this table for a conversation. But as you said, we're tired of promises. We are tired of like fighting since Prop A and 5 years later, oh, there is no money. That's not the answers that we want to hear. We want a renovation now. We need it like 4 years, and now is the time to do it. Thank you for putting this plan. It doesn't sound like an idea, but I still would like to compromise from all the leaders in the district. And thank you very much for the supervisors to take the lead on this. Supervisor Mirna Melgar also is a leader in our community. I'm sure you can, as leaders, can lead us for a successful renovation of the building. Thank you very much.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es María Núñez, mamá líder de mi comunidad, también presidenta.
Good morning. My name is María Núñez. I am a leader and mother in my community. I am also the SSC president and the ELAC vice president at the VBHM school where I have 2 students. I'm here to ask that the entire school be renovated with the money from the 2016 Prop A bonds because it has been in very poor condition for many years, during which the school district had been informed about the issues in the past. To mention a few issues, parts of the ceiling kept falling on students' desks. A student received an electric shock. And also the most dangerous incident was when hundreds of gallons of gas were leaked. This was a warning that we can't remain silent anymore about the lack of safety for our children and school staff. Enough with being ignored. What are you waiting to see happen to implement an immediate solution? All students deserve to have the same rights regardless of their culture. You have the power to decide the safety of students and teachers. It's time that you do what is right. I ask that any other school in similar circumstances be heard as well. We are human beings. We have the right to be treated as such. Si se puede. Gracias.
I'm feeling very emotional right now about these conditions and hearing everybody else speak up about these horrible conditions in one of the most wealthy cities in the nation, if not the world. Our poor, our working class poor children and families such as myself and my child are having to live under these conditions where we see luxury buses drive by and very wealthy people blocking our way to pick up our children in these deplorable conditions when we can be doing better and we must be doing better.
Supervisor Hillary Ronan was visibly appalled at some of these complaints. She spoke directly to the students.
If you can all listen to me, students, you deserve an apology. And I want you to hear from a government official that we have not protected you like we should, and that is wrong. And I want you to hear from me directly that I am sorry that we have failed you. This is not right, and you don't deserve this treatment. You deserve better. And I just want to thank you so much for organizing, for using your voice and your power by getting together with your teachers and your parents and your community, and for fighting back. And we are listening, we are hearing you, and we are going to act.
I asked the school district for a comment on this situation and the issues raised at the hearing. Here's what Laura Dudnick, one of the district's spokespeople, wrote to me in an email. Quote, "The safety and well-being of students and staff is our highest priority, and any identified safety issues at BVHM have been addressed to meet requirements. We recognize that the rundown nature of the BVHM facility and challenge in addressing day-to-day conditions, such as peeling paint, cracked floors, and overheating rooms, contribute to a feeling of neglect in the school community. The district is working to remedy this through our request for funding from the SF Board of Education. In the immediate future, BVHM will go through a design phase for its modernization project, and SFUSD will continue to make any urgent improvements that arise while the design for the full modernization is underway. SFUSD has some of the oldest school buildings west of the Mississippi, and over the years, the district has been steadily renovating and modernizing every one of our schools through a number of bond programs. SFUSD is responsible for maintaining the facilities of over 130 schools. End quote. We'll get back to the story after a quick break. I want to talk really quick about another podcast. It's called Our Opinions Are Correct. This is a show that tackles science fiction, science, and everything in between. It comes out every other week, and they've talked about all sorts of things. The death of the universe, imagining the next political uprising, or even just how to write a good fight scene. And that's because it's hosted by two writers. Charlie Jane Anders, the award-winning author of several science fiction novels, including the recently released Victories Greater Than Death, and Annalee Newitz, an award-winning science journalist who writes for the New York Times and The Atlantic. You can find Our Opinions Are Correct wherever you listen to podcasts, and join the two of them as they expand minds and befriend cosmic monsters. All right, now back to our story. The question of safety came up at the hearing, too. Viva Mogi, director of policy and planning for the district, said the school is safe. And the district is also planning to allocate money to repair it.
I just want to make sure that I respond. While what we see in the photos are extremely painful to see, the school is not, should not shut down. It is safe. And so I just want you to know that, you know, I'm in touch with my colleagues and that we just want the public to know that it is a safe school that they can still attend. And we know, deeply understand there are immediate needs that need to be addressed, but it is not at a point where we have to shut down the school. The testimonies were very courageous, and I really do like feel and hear exactly what the students have been saying. And we've wanted to just emphasize that, you know, we've had also similar community meetings at the school site where Chief Facilities Officer Don Kamalanathan was able to attend and have attended and visited the school a number of times. And we understand the conditions of the school and have made a commitment a couple board meetings ago that we would be reallocating some of our 2016 bond funds towards modernization. That plan and approval will be coming forward on the Tuesday board meeting.
That Tuesday board meeting she's referring to there was this past Tuesday, and it was the Board of Education that was going to make a decision about just how much money should be allocated from bond revenue to repair BVHM. Here's the quick backstory on that bond money. In 2016, voters approved a bond to pay for various school district projects. Community organizers and advocates were under the impression that Buena Vista was going to get a full modernization from that revenue. But that didn't happen. Even after the hearing, we don't really know why, because apparently the people who made that call aren't around anymore. I talked about this with Michelle Jacques Menegas. She's the coordinator for the Parent Advisory Council, the PAC for short, which is a group formed to bring parent concerns to the school board. She works for a third-party nonprofit, so she has some autonomy from the district, the board, and the parents in her role.
Lots of other old buildings have been rebuilt. A lot of what I heard was, you know, these questions and concerns about just how the decisions were made. And I know that many of the staff who were involved in those decisions, district staff, no longer work with the district, so we may never really get a clear answer on that. But where did that decision happen that, you know, a school that is in this kind of need that was on an, you know, on a long list of potential projects for bond money. Where was that line drawn and why was BVHM on the other side of that line?
And you don't know.
No. And we may not know. That's one of those things I think going forward, like this is a thing, a lot of thing I hear a lot from parents and from community advocates is transparency, right? So we understand that like decisions have to be made, right? If there's not enough money in the bond to do everything, you do have to make those choices. But what we want to know is how are those choices being made, right? Is there a rubric? What are the qualifications? Where's the cutoff, right? So that we can show that there's no influence and there's no preference and there's no bias in how those decisions are made.
Can we talk for a second about the budget situation at SFUSD? Because I think that there is a budget concern overall. In fact, you know, the state is now coming in and trying to help the district with its budget situation. But the money that is being considered for reallocation to repairs at Buena Vista is from a bond. Can you, you know, kind of disambiguate those two things if they're separate or talk about how one thing relates to the other?
I can try.
Thanks.
Yeah, but just still figuring this stuff out myself, to be honest. So bond money, right? We pass these bonds. Voters say, yes, we'll agree to pay into these funds so that these things can happen, right, for infrastructure. And we have to do that because we don't get enough money for infrastructure because of our current taxes, like property tax system, right? So that money is what we would term restricted funding, because it comes in and it's for a specific dedicated thing, right? It's for renovating school facilities, for example. Our budget overall as a district, the situation we're in is that for many years, our expenses have outpaced our revenues. Mm-hmm. And again, the biggest underlying piece of that is that our federal and state governments don't prioritize education spending to the extent that is actually needed.
Correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, but I'm going to try and kind of repeat the situation back to you. The bond money that may be reallocated is separate from SFUSD's general budget. And part of the reason why we have bond money is because schools are chronically underfunded by the state and federal governments. And so the city kind of perpetually goes to the voters and asks, hey, what do you think about a bond for this? What do you think about a parcel tax for that?
Exactly.
I asked her about the district assuring people that BVHM is safe.
If it were my kiddo, I probably wouldn't feel that way. And if it were my partner who was a teacher in that school, I may not feel that way either.
That brings us to this Tuesday's Board of Education meeting. To recap, board member Matt Alexander had said last week he wanted to increase the proposed bond money allocation for repairs at BVHM from $15 to $55 million. That would have been an amendment to the item before the board, which is a proposal from the district about how to divvy up bond funds. They're mostly spoken for already. The original bond was for $744 million.
As you can see, our existing issuance is we've issued about $465 million to date, and particularly for the modernization program, have made steady progress in spending those funds down. And with construction in full swing for the remaining modernization projects, we expect that those funds will be consumed and expended mostly by the end of this calendar year.
This is Dawn Kamalanathan, Chief Facilities Officer for the district. She presented a slideshow with all the different projects the bond money is slated to go to. They include some security improvement, like locks that allow teachers to lock classrooms from the inside in case of a school shooter, fencing, lighting, and buzzers. There's an allocation for the development of a plan to improve school facilities in the city's southeast. And there's money to go toward the construction of a campus on Van Ness for the Ruth Asawa School of the Arts, and a new school in Mission Bay. Kamalanathan said there's a lot to consider here when it comes to how to spend the money.
After careful reflection, and I do not make this proposal lightly, but really out of a sense of the urgency of different needs that have been presented and brought to my attention over the past 18 months, and a real understanding that it's important that we continue to spend bond dollars and move forward, I've again tried to craft a proposal that provides each of these projects with a meaningful investment that will allow them to maintain the momentum of the schedules and projects that they're on currently. First, Buena Vista Horace Mann. I want to just start off by saying that nothing that I've seen at Buena Vista Horace Mann, that those conditions do not meet our standard of what we should be providing as care for any school sites within SFUSD. My hope today is that with $15 million, we are more than able to complete design for a modernization project, but that design process will take somewhere between 12 to 18 months to complete and will be around $7 to $8 million to just spend. I'm sorry, it'll take 12 to 18 months to expend that $7 to $8 million. And then also leaving then, you know, roughly another half, $7 to $8 million to expend on immediate near-term improvements to the site. I feel good about that amount in that a lot of the issues that have been surfaced are not necessarily requiring major system replacements at this point, but oftentimes, again, the result of deferred maintenance that has accumulated, and that with $7 to $8 million invested over the next few months, we will be able to deliver a number of improvements that will help that site feel safer and be a more comfortable and also be more safe experience for students and staff.
BVHM parents who called into the hearing were audibly distressed. They just want the repairs done. Carmen Rodriguez, the mother of three kids at Buena Vista Horace Mann who already spoke at last Friday's hearing, showed up again at Tuesday's Board of Education meeting to ask them, as a mother, to listen. She said, what more do you want before you listen to the need in our school, in our community? This was a difficult decision all around. On one hand, the BVHM parents were there saying, both in their comments and in the chat function, that it doesn't make sense to build new schools while existing ones are falling apart. But there were also people who called in who were passionate about the other projects that this money was slated to go to.
What I'm watching tonight is a horrifying feeding frenzy of people who have real needs coming after money that was set aside by the people of San Francisco in bond monies to move the Ruth Asawa School of the Arts downtown to the Civic Center Arts Corridor, where the students would be able to interact with and be a part of the Civic Center arts life.
And let's not forget, a lot of the city's school buildings are really, really old. Buena Vista is closing in on 100 years. That means maintenance issues, and it means a lot of maintenance requests. BVHM isn't alone in needing things fixed. Don Kamalanathan had this eye-opening note on requests for repairs.
The mechanical electrical plumbing shop, which is far and away, those shops are the shops that are most impacted in terms of real life safety needs that are put in by staff. We had, before the pandemic, when I looked at it, a 3-year backlog for that, those shops alone. That's not being generated by like 5 schools or 10 schools. That is the cumulative requests of the system struggling with buildings that, again, need to be modernized or in some cases have been modernized, but we don't have the maintenance resources, even after a modernization, to keep a facility smoothly running. So there are a number of sites that I'm aware of where I've gotten requests in the Southeast. And also in the Mission, I think hearing from the Flynn community about concerns that are in similar in nature to BVHM. But I think our mechanical, electrical, plumbing shops could easily be doubled, and we would still be trying to catch up with certain types of life safety compliance. I'll give another example. The fire department, in the wake of the ghost ship tragedy, really increased its notice of violation program. And so we are receiving on an annual basis many more notices that need to be oftentimes addressed fundamentally by our electrical shop. Of course, we need to address those notices, but that pivot and shift in resources has had a real impact on the availability of our electricians to work on, again, the routine types of maintenance that they should be working on as school sites as their first priority, or at least making sure as a core priority that it doesn't suffer.
So not exactly a straightforward decision for the school board. In fact, there was a little bit of discussion just trying to understand the language of the reallocation proposal, figuring out where money would come out of and which projects would stay funded at the originally proposed amount.
I hated math problems when I was, like, the word problem, you have to read the stuff. And so, like, for me, I'm, like, having PTSD right now, trying to figure out these numbers.
After several hours of public comment, discussion, and deliberation, the school board members started talking about reducing the amount of money they wanted to reallocate from $55 million to $40 million, because the facilities chief had estimated that a full school modernization usually costs between $20 and $40 million. And then another issue. They weren't sure that the amendment they'd be weighing was phrased exactly right. So ultimately, they decided to take some time to get the amendment legally vetted, which means the vote didn't happen. So 4.5 hours into Tuesday's board meeting.
Okay, we will be bringing it back on October 26th.
The next chapter in this story is that the Board of Supervisors will consider legislation that asks and pays for the Department of Public Works to do an inspection of the Buena Vista Horace Mann School. And, of course, in 2 weeks for the Board of Education to make a decision on how to reallocate that bond money. So in the future, when all's said and done and the money is reallocated, I asked Michelle Jacques-Menegas, the Parent Advisory Council coordinator, whose door she'd be knocking on to get a status update on the repairs.
Chief of Facilities Don Kamalanathan is amazing. She has, everybody at the district has worked hard during this pandemic, and Don is no exception. And ultimately, right, the buck stops with her, so to speak, because she's the chief of the division. And she's a great communicator and a great partner. Well, I think one of the recommendations was for an agenda item to be added, maybe to board meetings once a month. It's just like a quick update, not just on this project for Buena Vista Horace Mann, but on any of the facilities projects, to just say, okay, here's where we are, and here's what's happening, and maybe here's what, you know, we thought we could do this by then, but it's going to take another couple weeks because of X, Y, or Z. So I think that's an important thing to remember. And one of the things that I've really sort of heard or has come up over and over again in the last 2.5 years that I've been in this position, which is, you know, people just want to know, right? And the district, yep. Like, I've kind of got a foot in both worlds, right? So, like, I have an inside view. I can see the staff working really hard. I know a lot of the stuff they're doing. But if that's not communicated to the public and to families, they think it's not happening, right?
Yep.
And we as human beings tend to do this thing where if we don't know something, sometimes we make up a story to fill in the space. And sometimes that story isn't accurate. And
yes.
So just that communication piece, I think, is important, not just with this project, but just pretty much everything we can talk about.
I'm Laura Wenis, and you've been listening to Civic. Civic comes to you from KSFP LP at 102.5 FM in San Francisco. Our theme music is by John Dillon. Our team includes producer and contributor Mel Baker, and assistant producer Liana Wilcox. KSFP is a project of the San Francisco Public Press, a nonprofit investigative newsroom. Find our reporting at sfpublicpress.org. Civic airs Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. on KSFP. New episodes every Thursday. Thanks for listening.